Good morning. Another day, another useful idea, hopefully. Today I want to talk about another parenting subject. And for those of you who are not that fascinated about the subject of parenting, I think that you might find a lot of value in the episodes in which I do talk about parenting-related stuff because of the main principle of parenting, which is you cannot teach that which you do not currently know. You do not transmit forward that which you do not currently possess. So the idea is that to become a good parent, you have to become a good person. And who among you doesn't want that? I assume everyone listening does so in part because of the wish to better themselves. So one topic related to fairness and reciprocity, which I talked about yesterday, is how do you actually teach a child reciprocity? Because I said in yesterday's closing that teaching a child reciprocity is the first step towards teaching them morals, ethics, and it's a required but not sufficient step. And so how do you actually do it? Obviously, when the child is too small, you can't start by just describing theory to them, because if you start holding moral lectures to a three-year-old or two-year-old, well, you're going to have a big problem there. And yes, I do think that's when you start. You start as early as possible. And just like with any parenting you do, you have to present the invitation, the opportunity to learn before the child is clearly ready to learn. Because how do you know when they're ready? That's why we have the instinct of, you know, talking to little babies. And we do the baby voicing. Oh, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Does your tummy hurt? Dude, they can't respond. They're a one-month-old baby. And of course we know that. So why the hell do we do it? We do it instinctively. Because that's how you teach language. You model language way before the child is able to speak, because guess what? That's how they become able to speak, by watching you. Okay? So just as you speak to children way before they're able to understand or speak back, you model moral behavior way before they're able to understand what that is. So how do you do that? Of course, you behave in a moral manner. Okay. Being a good parent is being a good person. I just said that clearly. Okay. But again, this is a practical philosophy podcast. So you're here for the practical details. Okay. How do you actually behave when there's a problem? Because there will be problems. And let's take a look at how those problems might present themselves. Well, the first big issue would be getting the child to do what you want them to do. You have the option of forcing them. A terrible, horrible option. Please do not do that. Do not use violence against your child. And forcing them to do something because it's for their own good, quote unquote, is using force. Like forcing them to get a jacket because it's cold outside, even when they don't want to take the jacket, That is using force, my friends. It is. And I'm not advocating for pneumonia here. I'm not advocating for hypothermia. I'm advocating for negotiation, for persuasion. Do not force, but convince. Do not make them do something and actually entice them, convince them to do something. Motivate them by positive and negative means that do not entail force. So I'm not saying forget the stick. Just use the cat. And I use the stick in the most figurative manner possible here. Again, please do not hit your kids under any circumstances. Do not spank. That is like beating your houseplant to get it to grow. It's insane. Okay? And houseplants are far more resilient than children. So I use the stick here in terms of a negative consequence. Like, should you shield children from the negative consequences of their own actions? The answer is both yes and no. Like, as a father, your main job is to protect your child from excessive negative consequence from living in the world, okay? Just protect, build a protective walled garden, just like in the Buddha story. Like, Buddha's father received the prophecy that he will become a great spiritual leader, and being more practically minded and being a very rich and powerful man, he decided, no son of mine is going to become a freaking wandering philosopher. So he built this huge Shangri-La city walled garden of happiness and perfection, where even the slaves that waited hand and foot on Buddha were just the most perfectly healthy and beautiful individuals possible, and there was no hardship, and there was no sorrow, and there was no disease, and there was no poverty, and there was no hunger, there was no conflict, there was no war. And the hopes of determining the Buddha to stay there. Because why would he go outside? Because he had everything he could ever want. But just precisely because he was sheltered from the adversities of the world, he expanded his consciousness to a degree that allowed him to be curious about the world and wants to explore the outside world. And so he left the city because of it. So I'm not saying deliberately expose your children to the vicissitudes of the world before they're ready for it. When they're ready, they will go and explore the world. What I am saying is teach them how to negotiate, because we're not all born Buddha, okay? We need to learn how to interact with one another, and we as parents have the main job of making our child socially acceptable and liked, making him into a pleasant human being, or giving him her the ability to be pleasant. That's very important. Not just unconditional pleasantness and obedience to everyone around them, but the ability to make himself liked by the people that they himself on, okay, make themselves liked by the persons that they like, to be able to be liked if they wish to be liked. Okay, how do you do that? Well, first, you need to teach them to negotiate. To teach them to negotiate, you need to teach them to reciprocate. How do you teach them to reciprocate? Well, you withhold reciprocation to prompt reciprocation. Okay, so you're trying to get them to do something. You want to go to the doctor. They don't want to. They don't like going to the doctor. But it's very healthy for them, obviously. Right? So how do you do it? Well, First, step one, you have to do the groundwork. And the groundwork is actually offering them things they want. When they ask for them, ingratiating yourself to them to get them to do something you want with when they don't want to do it, you first have to model it for them. That means you do something you don't want to do when they want you to do it. And I'm not talking about, hey, I've done stuff I didn't like ever since you were born because I didn't want to wake up at 3 a.m. to feed you and change your diapers and... But I did it, and now you need to remember, they weren't conscious for that part. So it needs to be something that they ask for. Specifically, ask you for. Okay? If you provide them with that, despite you not wanting to, and that, again, needs to be important, because they will figure it out. If you actually do want to do it, and it's not such a big deal for you, it doesn't count. Has to be something you really don't feel like doing. And then you have to do it. Specifically because you don't want to do it. But they want you to. They're asking for it. And then when you do the same thing and you ask them for something that they don't want to do, you remind them. You tell them, hey, remember? And by the way, you don't just do it once. You do it repeatedly. So you do this thing where you don't want to do it, but they ask you for it repeatedly so that it sticks in their mind. You really need to build up credit. This is essential because then you will use that credit. If you don't have credit, you have nothing to negotiate with. You need to build your reputation up as someone who responds to their needs, even if it's inconvenient for you, especially when it's inconvenient for you. That's what counts, okay? That's step one. Step two, when it comes time for them to do something that they don't want to do, but you really want them to do it, you will then use the credit. And how do you do it is you tell them, hey, remember when you asked me to, I don't know, go to the playground and I was dead tired or I was sick or, you know, my head hurt and I really, really, really didn't want to go, but I went anyway. And this, by the way, going back a bit to step one, just to fill in all the details, you need to let them know, they'll know that you don't want to do it. They'll feel it, but you also need to say it. I'm really tired right now. My head really hurts. I think I'm coming down with the flu. The light hurts my eyes, okay? I really don't want to go, right? And then accept and go. Because it needs to be clear for them that you don't, both emotionally and rationally, that you don't want to go, okay? Good. So once you do that, you then ask them to recollect that occasion. And you say, hey, remember when I didn't want to go and you really wanted to go and I went with you? Wasn't that nice? Remember when you really wanted for us to play, but I was busy? I really, really, really had something to do for work, or I had an appointment with somebody, I had to meet a friend for a beer, but you really, 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 really wanted to play, and we did that instead. I did something you wanted, even though I didn't want it. Now, I'm asking you for the same thing. I'm not asking you for anything that I didn't do, okay? And they will say no. They will probably say no, okay, I don't care. Good. All right. And you'll say then, well, next time you want something from me, remember this. Because this... right here, this will be the reason why I will not do what you want anymore. I know you don't want anything from me right now, but there will come a time when you will want something from me that I don't feel inclined to give. I'm not saying I won't ever play with you again, but I'll play with you when I want to play. I'll stay with you when I want to stay, not when I'd rather go have a beer with my friends. Okay? And they'll say, yeah. Okay, I'll never need anything from you, man. Screw you. To hell with you. Because they're kids, okay? They have the future planning capacity of your average chocolate cookie. So, of course, they'll fail at this. And they'll say, yeah, okay. I'll cross that bridge when we get there. I don't care. Okay, words. But of course, you have to back it up. And that's the last step. Next time, when they really, really, really want something and you don't feel like offering that to them, refuse. And make it clear that this is because of the previous event. Say, hey, remember? Remember when I asked you to go? And by the way, the resolution to the first thing, when you want them to go and they don't, you don't go. Just to be clear, you do not force them. Okay? So the resolution to point number two, to phase number two, where they don't want to go to the dentist, let's say, and you really want them to go, and you try and negotiate and it fails, you do not go. And you're going to ask me, hey, Ovi, what about the freaking dentist? Kid needs to go to the dentist. Well, just go to the dentist before you need to go to the dentist. Just make up an appointment. That's not really necessary. Okay? Train before you perform, or be content with the child failing to show up for the visit. Because, hey, okay, it's not the end of the world if they miss one appointment. If that's being used to teach them. Okay? So, back to step number three. What you do is you say, hey, remember, you didn't want to go, and we didn't go because you refused. I really, really wanted you to go, and I really, really asked you to go. And I said how important it was to me and how bad I wanted you to go with me to the dentist, and you said no. Well, I told you that in the future, I'm going to do the same. Because if you can do it, I can do it too. It's not fair, right? And here you appeal to their sense of fairness. How is it fair for me to do what you want, but even if I don't want to, but it's never for you to do what I want if you don't feel like it? What's the rule here, buddy? Or sweetie? Or whatever you call pumpkin? What's the rule here, pumpkin? What's up, buttercup? Is it just me who has to hold the other's preferences in high regard, and you don't have to care about what I want? I just have to care about what you want? Because, hey, you chose this, remember? I gave you a choice. I told you. And you said you wouldn't need anything else from me ever again, and you don't care. Well, here we are. Do you think you might have made a mistake? Do you want to reconsider? Do we now have an understanding? Like, if I do this for you now, next time you owe me one. You'll do what I want you to do when I ask you, even if you don't want to do it. Because right now, I'm going to do what you want me to do, even if I don't want to do it. Do we have an understanding? And they're going to say yes. And they'll probably break it again. So next time they won't want to go to the dentist or to whatever. And you'll repeat the process. You just repeat. You repeat, you repeat, you repeat. Until it becomes obvious to them that the only way that they're going to get what they want when they want it is to supply some of the stuff that you want when you want it. And guess what? That's the way the world works. This is not being cruel to children. This is not being bad parents. It's amazing to me how some people can say that this is wow, how can you treat your child so harshly? And treating them harshly is spanking them. The same people have no problem with spanking, but somehow refusing to grant their children's wishes is, oh my God, that is a capital offense. Okay, so this is how the world works. Your duty is to teach your children how to negotiate, and this is negotiation. Hey, I'm going to give you something you want if you give me something I want, and it doesn't even have to be at the same time. Because let's not confuse this with bribery. Okay? So this doesn't mean bribe your kids, as some people do with, you know, chocolate. I'm going to give you a chocolate if you go to the dentist. Then that's just teaching them to bribe. Bribery is not the same as negotiation.
So you're not supposed to give them something that's bad for them, obviously.
Okay? Let's be clear. Okay, so this has gone on pretty long already. Just a quick recap. How do you teach your child to reciprocate? Step one, you build up credit by doing what they want, especially when you don't want to do it, and making it clear to them verbally, and they will, of course, also feel it emotionally from you that you don't want to do it, but you still do it. And do this repeatedly to build up credit. And then at one point, either create a fictitious scenario or muse it on a real scenario where you do want them to do something that they don't want to do, and call them out on, hey, I did all that stuff for you in the past when you wanted it. You know, initiate the reciprocation. And if you don't do what I want right now because you don't want to do it, I'll stop doing it in the future. Okay? And then do it. Step number three is actually stick to your guns and do not offer them what they want in the future, and make it clear that it's because of step number two. Because they chose to ignore your demands, you are now ignoring their demands. And the only way to get you to agree to their demands again is for them to agree to yours in the future. And it's going to be equitable. Okay, so the fact that, make it equitable. The fact that you agree to one of their demands does not entitle you to get your demands met 10 times, okay? Or for a much bigger thing. Keep it reasonable and equitable. Use your common sense, okay? I hope that helps. If you have any questions, let me know. You know where to find me, hopefully. And I'll see you tomorrow.